We arrived around 7 o'clock last night during the cast and crew's lunch break.
Lunch, everybody got lunch.
And in a meta moment, a production assistant led us with our multiple microphones.
It's super tight, so we're going to sneak through.
Through a set.
Hi, Audie. Nice to meet you.
Made to look like a working news studio.
No, and you guys are like sort of maybe a little bit at home, too.
Jake Gyllenhaal is here to shoot a film called Nightcrawler. But we were there to talk about the movie out now that has critics singing his praises. It's a crime thriller called Prisoners. In it, Gyllenhaal plays Detective Loki, a brooding young cop searching for a pair of abducted girls. He's racing the clock against the kidnappers and the vigilante father of one of those girls who abducts and tortures a suspect.
Are you planning on taking two little girls?
No.
Have you done that before?
No.
Did you ask him to come inside?
No.
You ask him to come inside the RV and then you take him away?
No.
Did you put those girls somewhere?
Yes, sit down.
Come on. Did you put those girls somewhere?
Just don't touch me.
I know you put those girls somewhere.
Dark stuff. I asked Jake Gyllenhaal how he shakes it off at the end of the day.
I mean, there's strange idiosyncrasies from roles that I played that I picked up that will never go away. You know, I played this role, detective, in this movie Prisoners, and every once in a while I'm in a scene sometimes in this movie I'm filming now, he has this strange sort of facial tic. Occasionally I find myself like wanting to do, like the urge will come up, and sometimes it's that an instinct that's similar to an instinct that he had, which is just strange, and I have to ask it to go away or force it to go away, tell it to stop. It's not right for this movie. and it happens in my regular life too. I mean, it's fun to get so immersed that it's just as difficult to find your way out as it is to find your way in.
Now, in the movie Prisoners, your character, Detective Loki, I don't even know if he has a first name.
David.
Okay.
But we made that up.
Really? I mean, you don't hear very much from him. He's very solemn mm-hmm. and quiet. Mm-hmm. And like you said, I guess kind of there are sort of tics here and there. Mm-hmm. But how do you approach a character like that where there's obviously a lot going on, mm-hmm. but you're not getting to say it all?
There's so many pieces to that. I mean, to me, it's he's just not clear about how to express his emotions. For him, I think it's a very interesting sort of line to walk where in order to be a very good detective, as I did research and as I've spent a lot of time at law enforcement, there has to be a deep fascination with the criminal mind as well as a want to bring it to justice. So there's this duality that exists all the time with each character. There's not one character in the movie that has one clear through line. It's just doing the right thing, who is a good person or whatever we might consider that to be. Everybody's complicated. Everybody's really struggling.
And a core idea of the film actually is torture in a way. And it tackles something really core, I think, that people are thinking about these days, which is torture forgivable if it means you could save a life? Mm-hmm. And how has that shaped your thinking about this topic?
Mm. Well, I think the idea behind this movie, and it was the reason why I wanted to make the movie, because I can't make a movie unless I believe in the themes behind it. For me, I always thought, and continue to this day, which is a testament to the fact that Denis Villeneuve, who's the director of Prisoners, really pulled off what he said he would, which is that violence begets more violence. And that's the idea of this film. And that really, in this case, it's about control. The question of what do we do when we feel out of control? And oftentimes in a situation like this, violence seems to be the answer. But I think what Denis Villeneuve is trying to say is that it really isn't, that it gains nothing, does not give you more control.
Last year, there were a lot of interviews where you talked about wanting to make a kind of shift in your career or approach to craft. And what did you think that was going to be like? And how has it actually been?
Well, all of it just stemmed from wanting to be near my family. So I moved to New York and got to hang out with my nieces a lot more and my sister and my mom. And I mean, I also knew that I wanted to be back on stage. There were just a couple things I felt like I had moved far away from. I've always been close to my family, but I just wanted to be literally physically closer to them.
I ask because it sounded like you had a pretty strong reaction to the kind of, you know, Prince of Persia blockbuster difficulties and deciding I'm going to go in another direction with my career. And it's one thing to say that. It's another thing, right, to actually make that happen.
Mm-hmm. I just felt like I wanted to be excited. I love my work, and I had moved away from the work itself, and I was being asked questions that I didn't know how to answer.
You know, about the films themselves or just about...
Just in general, like, you know, yeah. Life, you know, films. I felt like the reason why I started acting was because I deeply, deeply love acting. You know, I love storytelling. I really do. And I just felt like I was moving farther and farther away from that idea. And I thought, well, where can I find projects and work with people that will allow me to be involved in a way that will fulfill my life, you know, make me feel like when I'm on my deathbed, I'm going to go like, yeah, like that's the way I want it to be. And I also, I really do think that that came from a lot of things in my life. Like when I mention my family is because at a certain point, you know, my parents got divorced after when I was 30, you know what I mean, which is a very strange time. You know, my sister was having these two beautiful kids and I wanted to be around. There's so many things and I just said, wait a second. What's real here? I want the real stuff and I want my work to be as close to that as possible.
Another shift I feel like I've seen is you pulling out of the kind of tabloid presence. Mm-hmm. And I don't see really social media stuff from you, like tweeting.
Why are you on your
you
social media? You checking out my social media?
I mean,
you've been searching for me everywhere, haven't you?
I might have been one to Google, perhaps. What's the deal? You don't want to be in this, it sounds like, in that part of it.
I'm old school. You know, like I really believe that you can do your work and it will be seen. Like, I also realize, like, I'm not so good at performing myself. Like, I really don't do that well. And I think I thought I could do that well for a long time, but I don't feel like I do. And it gives me great relief to know that I can play characters, which I love doing, that I find comfort in being there, as many people might think that's very strange, but I really do love that and find great comfort there. And all the rest of my stuff in my life has to do with and is shared with a small group of people. And most of them, you know, my little nieces, they know a lot about me probably. If they told me I should go on social media, then I might go on social media, but I doubt that. They're the only two that could convince me, but one
and
of them can't even
they?
Really talk yet.
Oh,
so,
okay. So.
Yeah, I'm just going to.
It's only a matter of time, though. I mean,
yeah,
it's going to be a minute.
Yeah.
Well, Jake Gyllenhaal, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for talking to me. And I just have to say I'm a huge fan of you and the show, and it's an honor to be here. So thanks for coming to visit me.
On set with actor Jake Gyllenhaal, his latest movie is called Prisoners. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.